The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Folks, you hear the news. Once again, Putin and the Russians are trying to engage in our election to decide who the president's going to be. And this time I'm the object of their attention. Because Putin knows if I am president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. I'm going to stand up to him. He's a bully, just like the president. And I know he doesn't want me to be president. But to tell you what, when I'm president, things are going to change. Mr. Putin, the American people decide their elections, not you.
Wow, that's pretty tough. Tough guy Biden. That was from 2020. I think it was early 2020, but maybe late October 2019. But there he is. There he is saying that he was going to stand up to Putin. Actually, you know what? What's also interesting about that soundbite is he doesn't accept the results of the 2016 election. He basically said there that Putin gave that election to Trump. Trump's the Russian. Still, never mind what the Mueller report or anything finds or doesn't find. They still come with the same narrative. Donald Trump's the Russian stooge. He's the Russian agent. Putin's the only reason that he won in 2016. He was going to try to rig it again in 2020. But Joe Biden, he wouldn't let that happen. And furthermore, Putin's not going to be bullying his neighbors in Eastern Europe. Not if Biden's on watch. That's a lot. There's a lot to unpack from that soundbite and quite a few others that we'll get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream at CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. That's Channel 3 on their platform. Goes into 11 million homes all across the United States. If you'd like to get to the video, the live video stream of this show, that's offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com and /live. You get to the live stream page. And you can also get to the programs that have been posted after the recording. So much to get to on today's show. Russian troops, they've started moving their way into these breakaway republics, Donetsk and Luhansk. This is basically the Russians. Richard sent us quite a lot of news on this morning, saying that the separatists in those regions, I mean, for that reason, the Russians pretty much had a good amount of control in both of those breakaway republics. But Putin comes out yesterday. He recognizes their independence, sends more troops in. And so we've got the, I guess it's not a full-scale war, but we've got the invasion that the Biden people, they've been hoping for so many weeks now, over and again. It's going to happen at any moment. It was supposed to happen last Wednesday. But now they've got it. And they're almost happy because they can now pin this on skyrocketing inflation, certainly for the costs of gas or fuel. They've got the war. They've got the distraction. They've got the excuse now. And, of course, none of the tough talk. Kamala Harris went over there supposedly to defuse the situation. That didn't work out so well. All the tough talk from Joe Biden in 2019, 2020. This was a tweet from 2020, Vladimir Putin doesn't want me to be president. He doesn't want me to be the nominee. If you're wondering why, it's because I'm the only person in this field who's ever gone toe-to-toe with Putin. He's the only one, said Joe Biden in 2020. That was from a tweet. This was Chuck Todd, I think on Sunday, with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, asking him, well, why didn't this happen during the Trump years? If Trump was like, you know, the Russian agent, if Trump and Putin were working together if Trump was furthering Putin's ambitions. How come it didn't happen during the Trump years? This is clip three.
In your assessment, why is he escalating with Ukraine now? Why didn't he do this under the previous administration, who wasn't as supportive of NATO? If you just look at it observationally, if he really wanted Ukraine and he didn't want the United States getting in the way, he perhaps had more of a friendlier administration in the previous one. Why do you think he didn't act then?
I hope you get a chance to ask him. Look, here's what I can say. I think, and I really don't want to put myself in his mind, because that it's very hard to do, but...
Quite a response. Quite a non-response. Maybe you can ask that of Donald Trump. Donald Trump was supposed to be a more favorable administration for Vladimir Putin. These people, I mean, Chuck Todd, he's still... The narrative is ingrained so deeply into their thinking. It runs right through their DNA. And so even though it's been totally debunked, this Trump-Russia collusion thing, it's everything springs from that narrative still. And Chuck Todd, he can't quite wrap his mind around it. He was supposed to be helping Putin. So the question I guess I have is, why didn't Putin go into these two breakaway republics earlier during the Trump years? And of course, Blinken can't answer it either. These people are blind to the fact that when they come in, it's exactly the opposite of what they're saying. Of course, we know this. But then they come in, they make one concession after another concession after another concession. Then they send over Kamala to defuse it, and nothing works. Appeasing the dictators and the tyrants never, ever works. This is a lesson that Canadians are having to learn as well. Just keep giving him what he wants. And he goes after more. Here's Vladimir Putin yesterday through a translator, clip two.
Once again, I would like to underscore that Ukraine is not just a neighboring country to us. It is an inherent part of our own history, culture, spiritual space. They are our comrades, relatives, not only colleagues, friends, but also our family, people we have blood and family ties with.
Putin says it's our family, so we're going to help ourselves to this. Biden tweeted out in 2019, he said, Putin knows that when I'm president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. So Biden's been in there for 13 months. Look at the world around you. Look at what's happened in these 13 months. Russia's already got, as I say, a fair bit of control in both of these republics or these breakaways, because there's Russian separatists already there. And so the question is it going to be something more than this? Is he going to be moving troops closer to Kiev? We'll have to wait and see. But really, if you think about everything that Putin is getting without barely even firing a shot, just the back and forth, the negotiations, the threats here, the pulling out of discussions here, he's getting everything he wants. And so he just keeps moving forward. And here come the Western nations slapping sanctions on Russia, slapping the wrist, basically. You heard at the top there with the top stories. Did you notice that the UK is freezing bank accounts, Russian bank accounts? That's what they're doing in Canada. That's the way Justin Trudeau is treating ordinary Canadian citizens. He's treating them like Vladimir Putin. Like he would Vladimir Putin, like he would these Russian invaders. Says a lot about Canada. We'll get to that in just a bit. Germany announced it was going to suspend Nord Stream 2. We'll see how long that lasts. We've been all over that story, of course, from the beginning. Donald Trump was quite critical of it. It's going to make you more dependent on Russia when you should be dependent on the United States. Look, we're all NATO, right? Biden, as I said, his people are going to be loving this, because now gasoline, it was on MSNBC this morning. Yeah, gasoline could go as high as $4 or $5 a gallon now because of this. It's not our fault. It's Vladimir Putin's fault. The Telegraph, on the wider implications of all this, says, for all its threats of swift and severe consequences, the West looks drained and compromised. Its citizens have little appetite for confrontation of any kind. Only 13% support the deployment of American troops. Neither do European leaders, given their country's reliance on Russian gas. Nor can the West properly punish Putin and Kremlin-linked oligarchs without incurring enormous pain itself. Pain that many NATO members are evidently unwilling to bear. See, nobody wants to confront. Nobody wants to challenge. So he's just, I mean, why send in, why full-scale war when you could get it all for nothing, next to nothing? The implications are not just catastrophic for Ukraine, they're seismic for the world. The West is quietly abandoning its guiding mission since the end of the Cold War to integrate the former Soviet Union and ultimately the whole world into the liberal order. I mean, we just want to spread democracy. Well, that's not exactly working in our own nations. It's certainly not working in Canada. And you look at what Biden and his people want for the United States. They want communism. They want socialism. And in a lot of areas, they're getting it. It says here, one thing we know for sure, Ukraine is not an isolated story of Russian aggression or Western incompetence. It's merely the first earthquake as the world's tectonic plates begin to shift. So it is significant. There are some tectonic plates shifting. And we know Vladimir Putin is the Prince of Rosh. You can request our free booklet on that very subject to learn more about where he factors into end time prophecy and China as well. And of course, Europe too. And the divorce between the United States and Europe. NATO splitting apart. These are all things that we've talked about for so many years at the trumpet. This is from the BBC. It says Vladimir Putin has ordered troops with two rebel-held regions into two rebel-held regions in eastern Ukraine after recognizing them as independent states. Footage released overnight appeared to show Russian military vehicles heading towards the Ukrainian border. It says Russia said the troops would be peacekeeping in the breakaway regions, which it has backed since 2014. You know, they devoured Crimea, by the way, in those last years of Barack Obama. And now here comes these two new breakaway states during the illegitimate presidency of Joe Biden. And nothing happened during Donald Trump's years. Isn't that interesting? Russia says, yeah, they're just going in for a peacekeeping mission. It's kind of like the army that Trudeau called in to Ottawa. They're just there to keep the peace. The protest for 3 weeks was completely peaceful, and there wasn't any violence until last Friday, until the troops showed up. 13 months into Joe Biden, the one who says, I go toe-to-toe with Putin. He knows he's not going to intimidate any of those nations in Eastern Europe. Not when I'm in the White House. No way that's happening. You look around at this world, at what's happened in just 13 months into this illegitimate presidency, what would the United States be doing and saying with respect to what's happening in Canada if Donald Trump occupied the White House, as he should? They stole the election. These communist thugs in power, stealing, cheating, lying, abusing power. The Canadian Prime Minister has essentially declared war on his own people. Russia, I mean, Putin says he's going in there because, well, those are our people there. Canada's dictator says the enemy is here at home. The enemy is, it's Canada. The enemy, they're Canadians. Those are the ones that we need to target. So they've arrested 200 people. I saw where the woman, one of the organizers, Tamara, I forget her last name, Rich or something like that. She is offered no bail because the judge says, hey, she could organize more protests. She's dangerous. You see how it works? We've gone through so many of these examples before. the Black Lives Matter getting that guy. He shoots up this guy running for mayor, shoots up his office. He's out on bail 2 days later, but no bail for this woman who did not resist arrest. They came and arrested her the other night, and she just turned around and had her hands handcuffed. 200 people arrested. They fired tear gas. They used batons, as you saw in the montage yesterday. They used the butt of their rifles. They used their knees to bash the protesters, to knee them, to kick them, to hit them, to strike them. That was all going on Friday and Saturday. They busted windows of vehicles, held drivers at gunpoint. They definitely cracked down. They definitely cracked down on the protests. There you can see someone kneeing someone who got out of the cab of his truck and onto his knees. Didn't resist arrest at all, but they wanted to let him have it. Someone leaked some comments from a group chat of Ottawa police policemen revealing that they really enjoyed this. Kicking people into submission, trampling them with horses. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, Andrew Nixon is his name. He told the group in the group chat that he was excited to face off against the protesters. Don't kick all of them out until next week's group gets our turn. Let us get in on the action. We're enjoying this. And the government, of course, bringing a lot of them in from around the country, putting them up in five-star hotels. I mean, they're living the high life. The secret police, the KGB in Canada. Don't kick all of them until next week's group gets our turn. Nixon said, time for protesters to hear our jackboots on the ground. Some of these people really love it. They love tyranny. They love to abuse people. Trudeau, you can see he's enjoying this moment. He can't get enough of patting himself on the back. Another member in the chat laughed about that old woman, that Indigenous woman that was trampled by the horse and the Canadian Mountie. Just watch the horse video. That's awesome, she tweeted or texted. I saw the horse video. That's awesome. We should practice that maneuver. And then Nixon replied to that and said, agreed, exclamation point, exclamation point. He's excited about trampling Canadians. They love this. The RCPM, or MP, sorry, posted on social media. It says, the RCMP is aware of the material circulating on social media pertaining to a chat group that includes some of its members. We can confirm that we're looking into the matter. So it's pretty embarrassing to the Mounted Police in Canada. They're looking into it. Nobody's come out and denied it. This is going on in the chat rooms of these law enforcement officials. Not in the CCP. Not somewhere in Beijing or in Moscow. This is happening in and around Ottawa. The capital of Canada, back in June of 2020, there was this police officer who came under investigation. He drove his vehicle up to this person that was inebriated, stumbling all over the road. And as he drove up to him, he opened his door and crashed into this drunk individual, got out, tried to handcuff him, and there was quite an outcry in Canada. You're seeing the footage right there. Quite an outcry. People saying this is right in the George Floyd time period. This is when Justin Trudeau and his people, this is when they really vilified the police. The police, I mean, they couldn't do anything right. Excessive force. We didn't have enough time to look into this. I wonder what happened to that officer. What do you suppose happened to him? Maybe we can find that out and update you on that tomorrow. This is from the Huffington Post, though, from 2020. It says a number of high-profile reports of police violence against black and indigenous people have made headlines in the last 2 weeks alone. I mean, so this coincided with the George Floyd protests. And I mean, there were some communists in Canada that were quite upset about these incidents of police brutality. The Huffington Post says a video footage surfaced of a Nunavut RCMP officer knocking down a man with a door of a police pickup truck, sparking public outrage, widespread condemnation, and an external investigation. Listen to this. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland, you'll remember her. We've played clips from her. She's the one that just, we've got to keep these, freezing the accounts. It's got to be permanent because there's too many people around us who are dangerous. So she's the one, she's standing behind Trudeau when he speaks and nodding along. And I mean, she's the one. She's moving with influence and power now in Trudeau's administration. And she's quoted in this Huffington piece. Chrystia Freeland described the video as shocking and deeply disturbing. Now, that video you just saw there, she was really disturbed by that. Just smashing a drunkard to the ground and then getting out and arresting him, putting cuffs on him. It says here, we are absolutely committed to doing whatever it takes to ensure these behaviors do not happen in the future. We're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to stand for this. She says, I will agree we must act and do everything we can to ensure tragedies are not repeated, Freeland said in response. Huffington Post says, she said the government will ensure anti-bias training for all police forces, including the RCMP, and that they wear body cameras. We have to do more. We have to do better. Where's all the body cam footage from last Friday and Saturday, by the way? How come a lot of these law enforcement officials came out with coverings over their badges, their names, their identification? How come the tow truck companies came out and had their ID covered? Here comes law enforcement. Here comes the jackboots. I mean, that's what the law enforcement official texted. Yeah, I can't wait for us to get our jackboots on the ground. They come in, they conceal their identity, either by wearing the big windshield or face mask or whatever it is. Yeah, totally just completely concealed. You can't identify them, but boy, they sure do come on strong. Was this woman calling for body cam footage in the incidents where they were kneeing the man when he was on the ground, not resisting arrest, or ramming their batons or rifles into Canadians? Where's the body cam footage for these people that were arresting Canadians in the cabs of trucks or RVs? I don't know if I've seen any where one resisted arrest. There was the one where the guy got pummeled on the head who was sticking his finger in the direction of the police officer's face. Outside of that, the guy that was being kneed on the ground, he got out of his cab. He actually told the authorities, he was on Tucker the other night, he told the authorities, I'm getting down, I'm going to go down to my knees and you can arrest me. And they did that and then some. Sure, we'd like to see the body cam footage of some of these arrests. That's what they were calling for in 2020. Not so today. Today, we're in a very different Canada. Speaking of 2020, listen to this reporter. I mean, you can hear the long pause as Justin Trudeau, you got quite, people made fun of him on social media for how long this pause went on. You could tell he just didn't want to really answer it, but he eventually said something. But listen to the reporter who cannot believe the way law enforcement would behave against those protesters surrounding the White House during that last year of the Trump administration. And I wonder what that reporter would say today about the use of tear gas, about the use of, well, about any of those tactics from Friday and Saturday. This is, I say, it's from June of 2020, clip 10.
But we do have Donald Trump now calling for military action against protesters. We saw protesters tear gas yesterday to make way for a presidential photo op. I'd like to ask you what you think about that. And if you don't want to comment, what message do you think you're sending?
We all watch in horror and consternation what's going on in the United States.
Right, it was horrific. Of course, he's talking about police brutality. It's horrific what they did to George Floyd, what they do to black perpetrators. It's horrific. The pause, I mean, once you get past that, you see right where they stand. He went out and he knelt with Black Lives Matter for 9 minutes. 9 minutes. And then that was right around the time when Freeland was saying things like, hey, body cam footage, gotta have it. Trudeau, body cam footage, every officer needs it. Because we can't have any incidents of police brutality. We can't have any incidents of excessive force. Well, now you see they get control. Now they've got emergency powers. They've got wartime powers. Parliament comes together last night, 185 to 151. 185 people say we should extend the emergency power, including one individual. This is a Canadian MP. I don't know if it was during the same debate last night, but listen to what she said in Parliament not that long ago, clip 8.
How many guns need to be seized? How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler, do we need to see by these protesters on social media?
Who needs just one dictator when you've got 185 crazies like this in Parliament? They've got their communism. Never mind the 151 who protest against it. They've got the slim majority, thanks to Trudeau's party joining with the Communist Party. That's basically what the new Democratic Party is. It's communism through and through. And so they join together. He's got to get a coalition because he doesn't have a majority in his party representing them in Parliament. So they join together with the communists. And the Emergency Act, it's extended. And so the Canadian police, law enforcement, can do more of what you saw on Friday and Saturday. And it's no problem. It's no problem. Trudeau is all for it. Didn't have one thing to say about the excessive use of force following these horrific images. Friday, Saturday. Because this is what gives him total power. If there's any kind of hint of rebellion, you crush it immediately. That's the way communism works. You may have seen video on social media of a statement that Trudeau made in 2014. He was asked, you know, what country around the world do you really admire? Listen to his response, clip 5.
He was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted.
A basic dictatorship, he said. It allows China to move fast, you see. He can really move fast. I mean, they can turn the economy on a dime. Pursue green energy, solar power. You see where this is going? You see where they're headed? Look, we have to do it this way. This is the only way we can get things done. This is the only way to protect democracy. Try to wrap your mind around that one. This is from Justin Trudeau yesterday morning. Clip six.
We don't want to keep it in place a single day longer than necessary. But even though the blockades are lifted across border openings right now, even though things seem to be resolving very well in Ottawa, this state of emergency is not over.
Even though there's no protests anywhere at the moment, even though there's no blockade anywhere at the moment, the state of emergency is not over. It's the threat of violence. Now, that, we've got to really be concerned about the threat of violence now. Too many dangerous people. Tamara Leach, can't let her out of jail. She's too dangerous. She's going to rot away in jail, just like the January 6th protesters. When it comes to crushing the opposition, anything goes. And then they gloat about it. Wait for us. We got to get our jackboots on the ground. I saw the video of that horse. It's awesome. We should practice that tactic, said the Canadian police. Here's Justin Trudeau from yesterday again. Listen to him as he says, who's championing democracy and who isn't? Clip four.
I can't imagine that anyone who votes no tonight is doing anything other than indicating that they don't trust the government to make incredibly momentous and important decisions at a very difficult time. But like I said, I am confident that the majority of parliamentarians will stand up to support our values, to stand up to support our democracy, and to stand up to support their fellow Canadians.
You stand up to support martial law and dictatorship, and what are you actually supporting? He says you're supporting democracy. He calls his dictatorship a democracy. And if you vote against it, if you're voting against his massive power grab, well, then you're against democracy. Pure and simple. So how do you reason with someone like this? Supposing you're a parliamentary a representative, an MP in parliament. How do you negotiate with someone like this? How do you try to find a middle ground between someone who handcuffs and defunds the police one moment so that the criminals can be let out of jail, so that the criminals can be given free rein, and then in the very next moment, he's sending in the mounted police to crack down on Canadians who are parking and dancing in the street. Didn't destroy property. Didn't cause any violence. There was the case of this woman, this single mom, who donated $50 to the Freedom Convoy. And this was all before the Emergencies Act was put in place. And they started to go in and freeze bank accounts. So she's doing something that is completely legal in the Canada that was there before last Monday. I'll give $50 to this cause. I'm tired of the vaccine mandates. I don't want my kids to have to wear masks to school. So I'm going to donate $50 to this. Trudeau comes along. He invokes the Emergencies Act. And this woman, this single mom, has her account frozen because of the dictatorship that's now in place. It's retroactive, you see. You can go back and find out who was donating to the Freedom Convoy. And that can have your accounts frozen, just like a Russian oligarch who's all for invading Ukraine all the way to Kiev. That's really astounding, isn't it? Listen to Tom Cotton on Maria Bartiromo's show from Sunday, clip 11.
You know, when it was radical liberal environmentalists shutting down pipelines in Canada, Justin Trudeau called for patience and dialogue. Now that it's conservative truckers protesting his COVID-19 mandates, he's invoking emergency powers and using authorities that are typically designed for terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. And Joe Biden and liberals in America are cheering them on. Remember, these are the very same liberals, of course, that marched in the streets and celebrated the BLM rioters in 2020 that caused billions of dollars of damage with rioting and arson and looting that resulted in many deaths. Whereas these Canadian truckers have shut down some traffic and set up bouncy houses in their capital city. The hypocrisy of these liberals really knows no bounds.
There are no bounds, and it's even worse than what he's saying there. It's an attack. We're seeing the final stages of this prophesied communist infiltration, something that Herbert Armstrong and Herbert Armstrong alone was talking about back in the 1950s. He said, "We are not fighting a single nation in a military war, but a gigantic worldwide plainclothes army masquerading as a political party seeking to conquer the world with an entirely new kind of warfare." You look at the fruits, you look at the actions. It's interesting, too, and Tucker brought this out the other night, how that all of them, all of these communists, they speak in almost these hushed tones. He didn't use the language of the Bible. Tucker didn't. They all sound like angels of light. You listen to Trudeau's speech yesterday. He sounds like an angel of light. If you vote against my wartime powers, then you're fighting democracy. It says further on, Mr. Armstrong's quote, "It's a kind of warfare that we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence." See, they all come in the same way, promising more, to be more moderate, to be more in the middle of the road. Biden did it, Trudeau did it, Barack Obama did it. I mean, Barack Obama also talked about the fundamental transformation. But he came in, and I mean, he was going to heal the breach between races. He was going to unify the country. Joe Biden was going to fix all of the division that was there during the Trump years. Yeah, I'm going to be the president of America, not just one party. And then you have Trudeau speaking yesterday about Canada, Canadians, as if all of Canada supports him, as if ordinary Canadians are just absolutely euphoric over these wartime powers carried out by his administration, these dictatorial powers, and there's no limit on them, no time limit. The protest was finished on Saturday, and Parliament says to him yesterday, "Hey, just take those emergency wartime powers. Take your martial law as long as you need it. We'll support you." After all, honk honk it's an acronym for Sieg Heil. We're fighting the Nazis here. This single mom who donated $50, she's a Nazi. Not the police law enforcement officials on that chat room. They're supporting the state. They're supporting democracy with their jackboots and their rifles and their horses. The final silly stages of this communist takeover. And all of it prophesied. I'll refer you to this as we do many times. He was right. There's a whole chapter in here on the prophesied communist infiltration into the United States, Canada, Britain, New Zealand, Australia. Speaking of Britain, by the way, let's play that clip from Boris Johnson yesterday. He lifted all restrictions, COVID and otherwise. This is going on even as Canada is cracking down on its citizenry because of a vaccine mandate. This is Boris Johnson from yesterday, clip 7.
"But because of the efforts we've made as a country over the past 2 years, we can now deal with it in a very different way. moving from government restrictions to personal responsibility. So we protect ourselves without losing our liberties and maintaining our contingent capabilities so we can respond rapidly to any new variant.
Nothing about that in the debate in Parliament in Canada last night or in any of Trudeau's speeches. Well, let's get to root causes here. Let's try to understand the protesters, like he said in the summer of 2020. Let's kneel with them. Let's talk to them. Let's consider their what they're disgruntled about. What do they have a beef with? Let's talk it out. None of that this time. None of that even now. The protests are over. The Freedom Convoy is finished. And yet the crackdown is on anyone who would dare send $50 to support the truckers, to support the Freedom Convoy. When we come back, there was a great soundbite yesterday. I don't know if it was yesterday. It was on Joe Rogan's show recently. Someone that spoke about how truth is relative and just how dangerous that is and what we're seeing play out in our society today because of it. We'll spend a little bit of time, the remaining minutes that we have on the show, talking about how important it is to defend the truth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
All right, let's go ahead and start with that clip. This is Majid Nawaz. I'm not too familiar with him, but he made this comment recently on Joe Rogan's show, clip 9.
When there's no such thing as truth, you can't define reality. And when you can't define reality, the only thing that matters is power.
If you don't have truth, then you can't really establish what's real. You can't establish the reality of the situation. And so, as he said there, the only thing then that matters is power, and power is what gets to define reality. And so if the communists in power come along, even if the video says otherwise, if they say that these are fascists that have taken over Ottawa, then you're to believe it. And if you don't agree with it, if you resist against it, you're part of the problem. You're fighting democracy. You're one of the Nazis. And we see how that's playing out all across Canada at the moment. We talk about how that truth is relative. Every year in Principles of Living class, freshman year, we go through Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind. He's got quite a lot in there about truth, moral relativism, value relativism, you know, just making a little value adjustment. You know, I was saying even to the class this morning, we were going through Meg Meeker's book, Epidemic, on the spread of sexually transmitted diseases among young people, teenagers. And how that if, you know, you walk into a mall and you see a group of teens, and it doesn't need to be the teen that just looks like he's crazy, a total rebel, but just ordinary teens. 1 in 4 or 5 is going to have a sexually transmitted disease. And some of them are life-threatening. Some of them cause birth defects. Some of them cause infertility. I mean, this is a serious threat, in other words, to young people. And we hear from Fauci nonstop. Well, and Pelosi, you can almost hear her saying how much she loves the children. And we just have to have these mask policies in place for the children. We're here to help the children. Meanwhile, these children are being told thousands and thousands of times every year that if you're not engaging in premarital sexual activity, there's something wrong with you. You got to get with the program. You got to come along with the times here. And they don't get into the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. And then it's compounded by the fact that a 15-year-old kid is going to be embarrassed when he notices what's there on his privates. It really is just shocking when you consider educators and the experts, even people in the world of medicine, nobody sounds the alarm. Nobody talks about it. As this author brings out, it's an epidemic for sure. It's a silent epidemic. And here come the experts today wanting you to muzzle the face of a little 7 or 8 year old as if that's the greatest danger facing them, COVID, getting a cold or a flu. The truth is what sets us free. And so when we get our freshmen before us at God's College, we tell them the truth. We're not trying to scare them into submission, but we teach them cause and effect. If you do this, it will result in this, this, and this. If you don't do this, this, or this, here will be the result. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. God says, choose life, choose blessings, choose the way that really promotes good health and vitality and fertility. That's a real struggle for a lot of people in the world today. Why? Well, you can't get answers. Not like we should, anyway. The truth, if you think about what communists teach with respect to morality, what was the quote I gave to you? Mr. Armstrong said, it's a kind of warfare that we don't understand. It saps our strength and perverts our morals. These people that are cracking down hard on a woman that would donate $50, they're the same people that basically say, look, if you need to burn down a few buildings to get across your social justice message, well, by all means, burn it down. And listen, if you want to have unprotected sex with a complete stranger, even if it's during lockdown or a COVID pandemic, that's okay. That's fine. We're not going to be judgmental. We're not going to take a strong position on that kind of behavior. But look, put on the mask when you go to the grocery center. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Look at the world we're living in. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about the advances in technology and such, and then you see the corresponding evils, the technology, the increase of knowledge, the information age, scientific discoveries. They haven't done very well eliminating the problems in this world. They certainly haven't. Haven't you noticed there's a lot of people disgruntled, unhappy? Unhappy with their lives, unhappy with their government, unhappy with their employer or employee, unhappy with their spouse, their parents, their children. I gave a stat in class the other day about just how many parents in America who say that if they had it to do all over again, they wouldn't even have had children. It was just such a curse for them, I guess. Now, God says it's a blessing. Read Psalm 127. It's a tremendous blessing, but of course you have to obey laws. You have to pull out the instruction manual. And you have to build a family the way God says to build it. And when you don't, well, it doesn't work so well. Things begin to fall apart. Marriages don't stay together. Children don't love their parents. Parents don't love their children. And yet, to make ourselves feel just a little bit better about the way we're living, like Bloom brings out in the closing of The American Mind, you're feeling a little bit of guilty because of all of this sin or all of these broken laws. Just change the values. Just call the sin righteousness. Just say that what you're doing is perfect and just and right. Even if the Bible says it's wrong. I mean, the Bible's outdated. I mean, we can't live by this text. We're modern. We've progressed. We've come a long way. In fact, we're living in a post-truth age. Truth is relative. When there's no such thing as truth, said this commentator, you can't define reality. And when you can't define reality, the only thing that matters is power. We're certainly seeing a lot of that in the world today. The Bible shows that our relationship with truth is what's causing the many problems that we see in our world today. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 3 and 4 speaks of our people not enduring sound doctrine. You can look at Isaiah 30. It says over there about people that would prefer to just hear the smooth things. They don't want to be told that they're doing things wrong or that they're living sinful lives. They're living lives not in accordance with God's laws. But look, I mean, you turn on this program and you do get truth. Truth. Jesus said, as I've said, the truth is what sets us free. You know, the Bible also says about, this is the same chapter, John 8, it says about the devil that there's no truth in him. So he's the God of this world. He's the author of murder and violence. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And we need God to open our minds and to reveal his truth to us. And then we need to live by it. 1 John 4 even speaks of knowing the spirit of truth. I mean, even getting into the spirit behind it. And we try to get into that from time to time on this show as well, because it's easy to look at one dictator over here or to look at this tyrant over here. And there are a lot of madmen in this world today, for sure. I mean, that was the headline at the New York Post this morning, right above Vladimir Putin's head. He's a madman. Well, he is. He's a tyrant. He's an authoritarian. He's a dictator. And you don't resist against Putin, not in his country. He'll, if a journalist isn't favorable toward him, he'll just put him to death. It's no problem for Vladimir. There's lots and lots of madmen like that in this world today, but there's a spirit behind it. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And Satan has deceived the whole world. In other words, the whole world doesn't have the truth. The only way to the truth is through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, the life, he said. I am the way, I am the truth. He said in John 17, God's word is truth. It is truth. And then he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8 and also John 14. You can look at some of those passages a little bit later on your own time. But that's about all that we have time for on today's show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.